dealing on one. The phone I'm gonna buy there.
Honorables and management, let's gear ourselves to the beginning and the beginning, the business of the day. Let me welcome our MEC of Eastern Cape, Kompana, and honorable members of the committee, Salka, our whip in the committee, and all every other important delegate in this, together with our management here. I have an agenda with me. It's unfortunately it's not copied, but I'll get it. The agenda is as follows. 1. Briefing on Section 139 interventions in terms of constitution and budget, Nguma Local Municipality, Kukama Local Municipality, Alfred Mdod District Municipality, by MEC for Local Government and Traditional Affairs in Eastern Cape. 2, we'll have announcement after our briefing and clarity. We'll have announcement. We'll do that announcement as the time comes. I'll then, without hesitation, call upon the MEC for local government and traditional affairs in Eastern Cape to brief us. I'm told there is a document distributed which might be adding other issues that are important. Welcome back. Honorable MEC.
Thank you very much. Thank you very much for this opportunity to take the Select Committee through what we are doing in the province in relation to the affected municipalities. We have laid out a background to the intervention. As reflected in the screen and in documents circulated. The previous administration, the EXCO of the Eastern Cape, after an analysis of the situation confronting various municipalities, arrived at a conclusion that the application of Section 139 and various subsections of 139 must be applied, guided by the nature and the extent of the gravity of the situation in each municipality. So we have therefore listed all municipalities with various interventions. Now, the first sentence talks about 11 municipalities, and we have listed all of them. For an example, we start with Nguma. The administration or the ESCO agreed to the application of Section 139.1c, which is a complete dissolution of that municipality, based on the gravity of both political and administrative situation in that municipality, and also informed by the extent of looting of municipal properties in, and the extent of lack of delivery of services to the people of Mumu. Then in Zimbabwe, previous administration agreed with the application of Section 1391B, which is still pending. And Amasati and Buffalo City, all those three, their application is still pending. I'm going to come back to why it is pending after I have assumed the new responsibility of the department. And then we have Kokama and Alfredville. The situation has been made much more easier by those municipalities because they themselves realized that they have not, they are in a state where they could not be called municipalities anymore. And therefore, once we spotted the weaknesses, they also came back to us to say, the sooner you come, the better. And therefore the situation was made much more easier because they were also recognizing the fact that the situation is beyond their control and we must come here. And they willingly accepted our intervention. And that ESCO then agreed with the application of Section 1290. I will come back to the details of what does that mean in practice. The other various municipalities, we use the normal Section 154 of continuous support across all municipalities, and on the basis of the degree of gravity of the situation, we then have to apply some stringent measures to ensure that for that is functionality of the municipality. We have investigated the others, and we have came up with some malpractices, non-compliance with their policies, and in some cases, non-existence of internal control. So we have had to go back and report to them and then send some teams, all these municipalities with defect teams, multidisciplinary teams, depending on the challenges that keep on confronting that municipality to assist. So we are running out of personnel in the department precisely because in almost all these municipalities that are confronted by this, we have got teams, combination of teams from our department and Treasury. And to a certain extent being backed up by CPSA and other stakeholders with a view to assist in areas that are most challenging in all those municipalities. Now, on the basis of this level, the previous administration agreed to prioritize Moma, Kokama, and Afrezo. Now, apparently, the then MEC, when she was then implementing Section 129 in relation to Moma, that move met with some resistance. And it does appear that indeed there were some flaws in the manner in which it was applied, in terms of not following properly some procedures. And as a result, the municipality challenged the intervention, and in a number of cases they won, up until the particular case where they then tried to remove altogether any intervention by the provincial government. So the matter is still in court for the pronouncement by the judge. In Kokama, we have had to appoint an administrator, precisely because the whole administration was fraught with infighting, lack of accountability, cash flow problems, and we have had to come in precisely because the MM of that municipality appeared to be somebody who has no skills at all and has no understanding of the situation. And that was exacerbated by the fact that someone was in a strike, and the entire district was then paralyzed. They have to leave the building where they normally operated, the municipality, to operate in another area, precisely because it was unbearable to work within the building of the municipality due to the strike of the workers. But I'll come to details as we proceed with the presentation. Then the African Road District Municipality. It became very evident and clear to us that that district municipality is not in a position to provide the necessary services it ought to do to the few municipalities under its jurisdiction. And that everybody was free to take any asset of the municipality in whatever way that person feels. And it also became very clear that the municipal manager of that municipality could not deal with the situation because it was so pathetic. We then, in every time we intervened, we set up an investigation first to determine the extent of the gravity of the situation, so that when we want to apply, use any approach as part of intervention, we know where the problem is. And in this particular case, we set up a team to investigate. It came back, and by the time it was coming back with the information, there was already a letter from the aggressive mayor to say, please come and help us. We are collapsing. We consulted all the structures in the area, and all of them, without exception, they said there is a need for the department to come, and not just come and assist with money, but intervene decisively in the administration up until everything has been restored. And that is what we are currently doing. Now, so on the 20th of April, we appointed an administrator, and the areas in Alfredo that we have taken over, the financial management area, because we have put into place some recovery plans. The corporate services, that includes other administration and human resource, infrastructure development, and new funding. And we have since informed and gave notice to the relevant structures, as in the case of the provincial legislature, NGOP, SALGA, and the department, cooperative governance and traditional affairs. We have since received a first report from the administrator, and the administrator is Mr. Tubane. He has presented the first report after having developed that recovery plan. We were trying to make copies, but it does appear that it's too bulky. But we will try separately to ensure that at some point, it may not be now, that this focus committee has got a copy of that first report, just for itself, for its information. Now, the Alfred Roman District Municipality is suffering from serious cash flow problems. And currently, the municipality under its jurisdiction are crying for the provision of water, which the district is unable to do. It is unable to pay its workers. We have had to come in and assist and take over the payment. It has used the municipal infrastructure grants in a very inappropriate way. Those are some of the dealings we're confronting there. We have then agreed that there is also a need to institute a commission, a forensic investigation through the SIU, Special Investigation Unit. And we have agreed they are going to start at any time to go in, because we believe that we don't seem to be having a deeper understanding of that problem. And we therefore thought that a forensic audit would expose to us the extent of that problem. There are municipal workers that have been arrested as a result of the investigation by police. I think at one stage, one was, it was discovered by the South African Police Services that one worker of that municipality was not even banking the money. Instead, he was putting it under his mattress. close to a million money was recovered there. So that clearly explains the problems of that district municipality. We have therefore appointed some consultants and some staff members expect there to assist the administrator to make sure that we update all the municipal policies, we put in place all the internal controls, management of the team, and we make the point that the municipality can then send on its own by the time we shall be reviewing the intervention guided by the law. The next municipality is Kokama. Now, even in Kokama, the problem of that municipality started by cash flow and the manner in which they were appointing their staff, which was then which led to some strikes by some because they were dissatisfied by the manner in which staffing matters were handled by the MM and his directors. That problem was then compounded by the fact that the municipality had its infrastructure rotting to a point where there was spillage of sewer all over the shore, which then affected some rivers as well. So we have had, together with the district municipality, come in on several occasions. And when we realized that the impact that we were supposed to be making is not being appreciated by the very municipality, so we have had to review the our approach and influence that we were jointly applying together with the district municipality. And on the advice of the district municipality, we have had to then use Section 1391B, which is a an incomplete dissolution. Or impartial, I mean partial dissolution. We then agreed together with the municipality that there is a need for an appointment of an administrator. We then discussed with the DPSA when we have realized that we are running out of staff because they are dispersed all over the province. We agreed with the DPSA to second somebody, and the DPSA said we will second somebody with no cost to you. And we have since appointed Mr. Skipper as an administrator, in that he has also produced a press report to the department. Now the areas that we are dealing with are those that are listed there in the book and in the report: financial management as well, corporate services, infrastructure and disaster, public participation. We were surprised that the report was exposing that there is no public participation taking place, yet we had appointed several city WS. So we have had to call them into a meeting and wanted to probe why there is no public participation when we are spending money in terms of paying them. So they have had to apologize because we did not understand the value of their presence when we the people of that area are not able to participate in programs of the municipality. Now we've informed the relevant structures that ought to be informed in terms of any intervention that is being considered by the problem. Now what is now emerging is what one would consider to be a confusion in terms of roles. The political management of the municipality is of the view that the administrator ought to account to them when we have clarified that matter long time ago. That as we have appointed the administrator, that administrator must submit a report to the office of the MEC. We will together share that report with the municipality so that the political leadership, so that from time to time they have a grasp of what are the developments, what is taking place. Now, they at one stage raised the issue of whether the administrator would function in the same way as a municipal manager. We then said no, those are two distinct issues. The municipal manager is now put aside now. There is somebody who commands the entire administration as per the agreement that we have entered with that municipality. We suspect that this is being done, this kind of confusion of roles is being done to delay the restoration of the situation in that municipality. Now, when we have taken over and appointed the administrator, we were challenged by the fact that in that particular month which was May, there was not a cent to pay the workers. So we've had to find an amount of 4 million and so on to intervene. Was one of the arguments we entertained in the department was that now that we have entered and intervened, whose responsibility therefore when there is no money to pay workers? Is it the municipality or ourselves? Then we agreed that now that we have intervened, we must share the responsibility to ensure that workers are paid. And it is on that basis, therefore, that we set aside an amount of 4 million, which we received from the National Department to intervene there. And we managed to deal with the situation which was confronting the workers. Now, as I already indicated, that I took over when already there was a battle between the department and Umuma Municipality. And Umuma Municipality was challenging the basis of the intervention. Because according to them, there was no scientific evidence of the basis on which we took the decision. And that processes that we followed were flawed. And I think to a certain extent they succeeded in various court battles. Then we have been advised, therefore, if we still want to continue with the intervention, we do it properly and procedurally. And therefore the department at some stage has had to retreat and do the necessary thing that it overlooked at the time of the intervention. Now that the former MEC then went back with the intervention, then the municipality then took us again to court. Now we are at a stage where we are awaiting a court decision on the matter. But I must say that I attended the High Court proceeding. That municipality hired two senior counsels from Cape Town with some two attorneys. Now you can imagine how much that municipality is going to pay and to those lawyers. Yet we have been arguing with the municipality that we must find a better way of ensuring that the quality services are provided to the people of Umuma and not use money that could have assisted them to do other things. And I think they are now realizing, because 2 weeks ago I was invited by all the leaders of the opposition parties there to say, look, MEC, let's sit down and discuss this matter. And I said, unfortunately, the matter is still in court. I would have loved to discuss with you this particular matter. Because to me, it does appear that we shouldn't have been in this position where we are in terms of fighting one another. We should have been working together to realize the objectives of the people of Umuma and not deal with this in the fashion that you are seeing. Because I think they are beginning to realize that depending on court may not give a solution, but that the department is engaged and we engage them up to a point where we realize the necessity to come to terms with the situation in Umuma. So we are awaiting a court decision to say whether to intervene, to proceed with intervention or not. We have agreed with those leaders of the opposition that depending on which side wins there, the central point is we must then take those processes of discussing after the court judgment, whether they win, the judgment is in their favor or is in the favor of the department. We must immediately enter into discussion as to how best we can then take out the Moma municipality from the situation we from the department consider to be critical. So, Honorable Chair, that is the situation. It is our view, therefore, that there are lessons that we have learned from these processes. The first one is legal challenges. The differences in legal interpretation and in disputed facts resulted in legal challenges. And as the legal challenges affected the financial resources of the municipality as they are deployed in court battles. The time and energy expended in court battles undermine service delivery, in our view. The financial implications, as a second point, is that it's difficult to budget for intervention from our side and our department. This is what we have put to the ESCOM and the provincial treasurer, that we are intervening. The aggressive council of that time, and even this one, has not provided funding for this intervention. We are just using money from our department, taking from various sections and units of the department to fund this. And we are therefore saying that those are financial implications we find ourselves in. We have then requested the treasurer to provide us and give us some money to deal with this intervention. The other point, which is which has been raised by the Auditor General, is that you would have to correct some of the issues so that they are in line with when the audit is taking place. Because if you have assumed the responsibility, that should be clarified so that there is no confusion at the time the audit is being conducted by the Auditor General. So that when opinions or Auditor General understands the processes, at least his staff could be in a position to do the auditing properly and not align those as being part of the failure of the municipality when the department has taken over certain responsibilities. The other lessons, the political lessons that we in central point view, the powers of municipal councils are affected by the intervention land leads to some resistance and defense of the political space and polarization of councils. And those are some of the lessons we have observed from this process. Now, we are also of the view that intergovernmental relations get affected by some of these issues because whenever these interventions are applied, other municipalities do not want that to happen and they resist. We want to conclude by saying, Chair, these challenges are a lesson and a guide that interventions carried out within the context of promoting sound intergovernmental relations aimed at enhancing service delivery and promoting good governance are a legal necessity. What is required is a fine balancing act in terms of our view. We thought that we should also provide the NCOP with the sequence of events as to what happened. I think there is a sheet like this which details what happened when and during this intervention in the Eastern Cape that we have inherited from the previous presidency. We are monitoring this intervention so that we don't stay too long in each of these municipalities. And our intention is to make sure that we merely restore order and ensure that the municipality can stand on its own and then leave that municipality with all the necessary resources, with all the systems in place, so that the administration can run. I must also say that in the majority of cases, in all the municipalities of the Eastern Cape, some of the problems are more political and they tend to affect administration. Some infighting from various political parties, they tend to affect administration, and some of the administration tend to collapse as a result of that, because some people have some loyalty to some groupings within the municipality. So we are then saying that it will help for political leaders, wherever they are, that they take into account that some of the differences that they have amongst themselves affect the running and the management of the institution in which they are deployed. Thank you very much. Maybe we will give clarity as questions are raised.
Thank you. Thank you, Honorable MEC. Yes, you remind me we should have known who are we right at the beginning. Maybe I'll go to the space so that we introduce each other properly as we speak. We know from which quarter who are we and all sorts of things. I am Madrome Hamdani Poli, Chairperson of Select Committee, Cooperative Governance and Traditional Affairs, NCOP, and I will allow all honorable members of the committee first to introduce themselves from this side.
I am Masemani Makubele from COP.
I'm Wati Watson from the DA, representing Mpumalanga.
I'm Dennis
Bloom, and I'm representing the Congress of the People.
I'm Tete Gunda, and I'm representing the Northern Cape.
Chairperson, my name is Johan Meckler. I'm from the South African Local Government Association.
Hi, Chairperson, my name is Louis Zumander from Pietermaritzburg, KZN province.
I am Shatara Mufutin from the African National Congress. Thank you.
Chairperson, I'm Bon Lemesi from the Eastern Cape ANC.
Edin Chani, ANC Northwest.
I'm Susana Chane, NH Committee on Corporate Governance and Diversity.
Tunga Matila, ANC Gauteng.
Bafo Momoti, I'm the legal advisor to the chairperson of the NCOP.
Botana Boko, content advisor for the committee.
My name is Moses Manela, the committee secretary.
Kwesi Lelobi, committee secretary.
Thank you, Mr. President. My name is Mukwena. I'm the researcher for the committee.
My name is Tano Kopala, MEC for local government. Thank you.
Thank you very much for that introduction. Then we'll know who's speaking and we'll be able to engage on the issue. We are dealing with two issues that arise out of section 139D, the other one is C. I want you to technically have that understanding as we engage with the issue. I will just generally allow the Honorable to engage, but first of all, the MEC want to raise something.
Well, that earlier on, when I was starting to give the report, I said I will come back to certain municipalities that are pending. I want to explain that. As I said, that this is what we inherited from the previous administration. Now, we then sat down in the department and look at how do we then move forward with respect to Mashe municipality, Amahlathi municipality, Buffalo City municipality, given the fact that situations that prevail at the time there was a need for the intervention in terms of section 139B, 1B, may have changed by the time I was coming into the department. So we then said, perhaps there is an overuse of the intervention in terms of section 139 in the province. And therefore there is a need for us to re-examine whether those facts that were informing the direction of the intervention are still relevant today. So we then asked to set up a team to visit these other municipalities, Mashe Municipality, Buffalo City, Mufara Mashat. And the first report with respect to Mashe indicates that I think we must go back to the executive and convince the executive that we must review the application of Section 139-1B in relation to that municipality, given both the attitudes and because of our consent in the action with that municipality, some of the things are no longer an issue requiring Section 139-1B with that. We are doing the same with Buffalo City. We are doing the same with Amahlathi. Hence, we are then saying those cases are pending and subject to the fact that we have all the facts of the three municipalities, and then we go back to the executive council. Once we are convinced that there is no need for Section 139, instead, we must intensify the application of Section 154 and other sections from the relevant legislation to ensure that we support those municipalities in the manner defined in those legislations. So I thought I must clarify this pending situation.
Thank you very much, Honorable MEC. I'm now going to allow the committee, the House, to engage on the matter. And let's engage systematically so that we don't lose point. This is a legal matter from the name. So avoid losing point, let us be very systematic. So that our support managers also must be able to pick up recommendations moving forward. Mr. Honorable Makurela.
Thanks, Chair. First of all, I'd like to commend or congratulate the MEC the manner in which she presented his report, such a comprehensive report. But I would like to say that I'm having only two questions and one advice. The issue of 1 million recovered, was the person arrested? If so, how far is the case? Number two, the report by Skippers, because the MEC said no, he produced a first report. Is the report showing the progress from the time he resumed his duty? This other one is a sort of or advice. We are dealing with two issues here, sub judice intervention, and also we need to see to it that no, people receive service delivery. We must be able to differentiate between how can we intervene while there is a case before the court. Thanks.
Thank you very much. Do we follow question and answer method, or do we take questions?
Yeah, I'd just like to ask, I agree with the previous remark about the way the MEC presented it. It's such a complex report. But, you know, not knowing all the areas of the country,
could you give us an indication where Nkuma is, where Mabasha is, and you know, I don't know the Eastern Cape all that well. I do know it, but not that well.
Chair, I'm comfortable and happy about the report because I've read the report before. But there are just a few things that I wanted just clarification. I'm worried that I could have read and knew before I come and ask this thing here. My interest is in this application of these sections in relation to the councillors. When you apply section 139.1A, I think it's 139.1A, and the one that would dissolve the municipality completely and take control. What happened to councillors? Because they are politicians there. Are they continuing with their function? What is it that they do? I think this question is relevant for my assistant, but if I could have read some documents which are clarifying this, I could not have been asking this question. I'm asking it because I've got interest in this thing of resistance. Because resistance is born out of what happens to them. So I'm interested, maybe if I can get a clarification on that. Generally, out of what I've read before and out of what I'm hearing now, I think I'm compatible about the report, and I think the committee, as we've said, we're going to indict. But also, I wanted to hear from the MEC, maybe will it be in the interest of the MEC, as they know that the committee has a program of visiting the municipality, will it be in the interest of the province, or would they advise the committee to continue with this program, visiting the base municipalities, and if so, will they ensure that we get this report that was said about here, I mean, before, so that we can be able to go and visit and interact with the realities of the time, because I was listening to the interview saying they have decided to revisit other decisions which were taken before, because situations have changed. Thank you, sir.
Thank you so much.
Thank you, Chairperson. Chairperson, I would like to address the committee on I would imagine the role of this committee, specifically in relation to Section 139 of the Constitution and then related to the lessons learned. As you know, Section 139 is an intervention of the provincial sphere in the municipal sphere. Because it is two spheres that are engaging, there is a third sphere that in terms of the constitution acts as a check and a balance that things are correct. That is why 139 says that the National Council of Provinces must advise on whether as to the continuation or not of the intervention. So there is a very specific role of the National Council of Provinces and then especially this committee in the continuation or not of the intervention. And that role, Chairperson, cannot be overemphasized. In terms of Section 139A, which is normally just a directive where the provincial executives direct for something to happen. If something does wrong, that must happen. In terms of 1D, it is the assumption of responsibility. If functions are not being performed, the MEC would assume responsibility and take over those functions with budget and so on. And I think the MEC has referred to aspects thereof when it has to come and provide money. 1C, as you know, is the dissolution of the council, where the council is dissolved. There's no council, there's an administrator, and then within a particular time period, there should then be elections held in order to replace the council. Now, in all of those, this committee advises. It oversees what happens there, because it is the check and the balance that things happen. And I think, Chairperson, if you would look at the lessons learned, at the political implications, because they are always political implications, even when there was intervention in 1998, Chair, in the then Butterworth, that there are always these implications, political, intergovernmental, financial, etc. And it is really in terms of those areas where this committee would engage and interact with the province, with the municipality, anticipate those problems and come up with solutions as a, let's call it a, an honest broker as to how one can make things work. So there is a very proactive role, Chairperson, for this committee. And certainly, as far as engagements are concerned, I would imagine that there is an imperative that this committee engage with the actors in all of these interventions. And that certainly, as far as I can recall, was also the modus operandi of even the previous committees as it was then provincial and local government. Thank you, Chairman.
Thank you very much. That was to enable us to have a view of what role going forward we are going to play. I think thanks for that. I had
this. Yes. Thanks, Chair. I think, Chair, maybe we need to allow the MEC to give some clarity to those questions raised. But I think at this stage the committee will only be forced to, in the light of those pending judgment, note the report as presented, and mindful of the fact that we already in our program anticipating to visit those particular municipalities for oversight purposes, and only I think after that then we can make the necessary pronouncements as to the way forward. But with regard to this pending judgment, I think it will be important that as this committee we raise a concern about, well, whilst we understand the autonomy of each and every sphere, but it should be a concern as government that if one sphere is given the necessary support, would utilize the limited resources to fight back. To me, that is a very serious concern. While we appreciate in those municipalities which are cooperative, when this intervention is given, because I don't think that this kind of interventions are meant to deal with certain people, but to assist the government to be able to provide the necessary services to our community. But I would personally also request the NEC to engage with the attorneys dealing, representing the government at the provincial level at that site, to touch base with the relevant courts for judgment to be released as early as possible, because we can't just wait for court judgment. This might take a long time, and in the process, the people who will be suffering are our communities in that particular area. Thanks.
Thank you very much. I think that is noted. Mr. Bloom?
Thank you very much.
Chair, no, I think I'll agree with you. You know, let's treat this report as a briefing document that MEC gave us now this briefing. We as a committee must come together and treat this thing and discuss this thing. What are we going to do? The way forward program of action. But you see, now we are sitting here, we got this briefing now here, and we can't take any decision yet. Let us, as a matter of urgency, meet as a committee alone and decide what we are going to do in connection with this report. There we are. I assume everyone is satisfied. I will then allow the MEC to, just in the interest of the questions, respond to questions
that
are raised.
the case of people who have been arrested in Alfred Zod District Municipality, it kept on being postponed, but the individuals are appealing before court. I think they have had 2 to 3 appearances in court. It's not one person, but there are others who found it to be abusing municipal property in terms of cars and so on and so on. The DDG will deal with the Kogama progress report. I think we do have a copy of the small Kogama progress report. Perhaps the committee can get a copy so that at the right time you are exposed to the readings of what contents of the report. Now, the question that deals with intervention is one that is a case in terms of assistance. The department is continuing with the assistance. The last election I was briefed on was relating to property valuation. Our officials keep on interacting with all the municipalities, including Moomba. We provide assistance where we think it's necessary. But we are careful about providing finances too much, because it turns that they take decisions to use that money for purposes other than the one that I defined. So we are still skeptical about pumping in money willy-nilly in that position. But we do provide support despite the court case. Now, Moomba is in Butterworth. It's a coming together of areas.
Mr. Otaf, I think the question responds to your question.
Moomba municipality is in Butterworth. Yes, it's with the surrounding areas like Ngamakwe and so on, Kendane and all those things. And Mbashe is area of Aitucha. Yes. And then I think the question from Honorable Member Nancy has now been answered by Salga. In terms of when you apply Section 139(1)(c), it's a complete dissolution of the municipality. That's why I think leaders of the opposition, of all parties in opposition in that municipality, were worried. Because they were saying, what is happening there is not of their own making. Those are permutations from the ruling party. And now if you were to apply Section 139(1)(c), it's going to affect them law too. Because that will therefore mean you go to the election afresh.
Yeah.
And the possibility exists that some of them may not come back when you do that. Hence they were strong in saying we must enter into serious discussion after a judgment has been made. We are still considering that. We don't know what that means going forward. We will welcome the visit of the NCOP, we must say that. We will welcome so that you also assist in making observations with respect to that. When Section 139(1)(c) was applied in Moomba, the National Department, DPLG, as it was called at the time, went there to do its own assessment, and they arrived at the same conclusion as the Executive Council of the province, that there is a need, and we must move very fast because of the gravity of the situation. That is their own report, which was talking about the situation there. Not even our own report alone. And the minister physically visited that area and saw for himself what was going on. So hence we would be happy to work with the NCOP whenever it feels that it must visit, to visit these municipalities. I think we note the comment that our advocate must interact with the judge who are presiding over the case to check where it is now. I think we will do, and we appreciate that comment. Thanks.
Thanks very much.
Thanks very much, Honorable Chair, Honorable Members. The report from Mr. Skiapas, the administrator, has some indicators to us. Of course, it's still early days because it's still the first report. We are still going through it. But it does indicate to us the areas where we can capitalize on the situation, how much is being owed to the municipality, how much is the municipality owing. It does show the overall mobilization of support for the municipality from various role players. DBSA is part of the process. Provincial Treasury is now part of that process. The district municipality, the DBLG as it was then. So all these are now combining their resources in getting to support that municipality rather than moving in individually. And also the financial recovery plan is in the process of being drafted. It's going to be adopted soon. So those are indications that are coming from the report. It's a fairly good report that deals with the situation. That possibly after 2 months, after we have assisted them financially, they will be able to pay their own salaries out of the measures that would have been taken during these 2 months. So those are just the early indications from the report.
There you are. But I just have one little question for clarity. This is June. Almost all municipalities are to complete adoption of their budget in relation with the IDPs and the PMS. I would just want shortly linking this to the current status in terms of planning and the envisaged service delivery budget implementation plan. What is going to happen? Just in short, I would apologize. I just wanted to have that.
Thanks, Honorable Chair. Apologies for coming late. in our presence, though, the IDPN budget has been adopted similarly in Kukama. And similarly in Mungoma. In fact, in our presence, so when we put in the administrator there, he had to relook at the budget, and because there were certain aspects of the budget that did not talk to service delivery and various other issues. So the budget was redrafted by the administrator there, and it was pushed through council, and similarly in the other two municipalities. So the issues that you are raising here are being taken care of. In fact, it was in our terms of reference, particularly for Alfred and Kukama, that the administrators that were put in there should deal with the adoption of the IDP and relook whether the IDP does address the issues that it is supposed to address, similarly with the budget. So the processes there are on course check.
Technically, just a follow-up. Where we have no councillors, who approves this? Because technically, do we have measures of approval or MEC comes in? Just technically.
Thanks, Honorable Chair. In the two municipalities, that is Alfred Ndo and Kukama, council has not been dissolved. So council still is performing its functions there. So but they do that concurrently with the MEC.
Honorable Chair.
Thank you, Honorable Chair. I understand the two ministries have not been dissolved. The one that has been dissolved, who is approving that budget? The one in Uma, who is approving that one?
The council there is technically not dissolved because we're still waiting for judgment.
Thank you. I think it's done. The purpose of this meeting today was not interrogative as much. It was for briefing and getting clarity so that I think we'll remain in the committee for 5 minutes.
Yeah.
With our staff maybe being released for some time so that we deal with politics. 5 to 10 minutes and then we get a report.
Yeah.
Mr. Waters, is there anything?
Just a question of the 139(1)(c) in the case of Kuhn. I agree that it's not resolved technically because there's a court case pending. But was there ever approvals given by the NCOP? I'm also new in the committee, like the MEC is new in the department. I'm asking, was there approval given by the NCOP for enacting the 1C before the court case intervened? Where do we stand in as far as that's concerned?
Yes, the advocate, I think, will respond on that one.
I think you should have said the NCOP with regard to Nguma received the notification as per the constitution from the executive council. However, because of the court challenge, the matter, the NCOP didn't proceed with the matter. Even the committee didn't go there, to the best of my knowledge. Thank you, sir.
Thank you very much. I would want to take this opportunity to thank the Honorable MEC for coming. We thank you very much. And I would encourage that those of us who are here have engaged on the matter. Please avail yourself. We don't want people to take us to and from because they were not there. Let's make sure that we are careful as and when we are called for this match. If we would follow this thing and don't forget any aspect of it, we'll be able to conclude. But I would want to just a little question to our Honorable MEC to say these matters are yours. And we refrain previous administration, previous, because even ourselves as a committee, all what is a challenge in the NCOP is us. And therefore, they are heavily on your shoulder, even if we elected yesterday. They are yours now. I just wanted to basically raise that message. But I would like to thank everyone for coming to this meeting. And in the future, let's make sure that we attend as we attend. And let's adjourn. But I would request members of the committee, Politica, to just remain so that they assist the chair on how do we move forward. Thank you very much. Thank you.
Thank you.